This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. At the end of this month, some Valley folks are heading down to Georgia to help celebrate the life of Clarence Jordan. Jordan is the ordained minister who began interracial Koinonia Farm in 1942 as a demonstration plot for the kingdom of God. Situated smack in the heart of Jim Crow Georgia, Koinonia persevered through threats, burnings, and intimidations, and is still going today. Our community farm is another such demonstration plot for the kingdom of God. It's 12 and a half acres surround a big brick house. And the whole shebang operates as a place where residents dealing with addictions of many kinds can be challenged and encouraged. Ken Wettig, Jason Wagner, and Skip came into the WMRA studios recently to give me a sense of who they are, how our community farm came into being, and what life is like as part of this Christian work recovery community. Ken goes first.
It probably starts with the opening of our community place at the north end of town and coincided with a time in which I was renovating this old dilapidated house.
Why?
I was going to try and make a bunch of money and flip it and sell it and make some cash and move on to better things. Yeah, I was going to try to get myself and my family in a good financial footing. And as I started to share fellowship with the small church that was gathering and meeting together, and that was very heavily involved with our community place, I started to see just a real opportunity to share life with folks who oftentimes aren't getting an opportunity to be involved in kind of a healthy family atmosphere, and started to get inspired with an idea of folks coming to live in the second half of the house, and that we would take them in, people who are dealing with alcoholism or drug addiction, and that we would provide sort of a work discipleship kind of opportunity for folks.
Healthy family environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of unhealthy family environment. So what are you talking about here?
Jason speaking. Yeah, I think for us as a community, we want to live in the light and in the way that Christ taught us, which is, with love as the center, a love that is forgiving, merciful, filled with joy. We all bring different wounds into mm-hmm. our world. So the environment we want to make is a family that is a part of that healing process. I think my genesis would be different than Ken's. Like he's moved from Canada and married a girl from Harrisonburg, Virginia. I wanted to start being in community when I was about 22, 23. And I moved in with a guy who was more experienced with that. He's an older guy who kind of was a pilgrim. My friend Brian, and I lived with him for 5 years, and we took people into our home, and we lived in a way that was kind of crazy. We were two single guys, so we allowed people to sleep on our couch, and we'd have shared meals.
What people are we talking about?
People who would be willing to live on a couch, I guess.
Didn't have
you would say they were homeless. Yeah, and there, but we gave them a space. We had an open door policy. And it was a lot of learning for me how to live with people. The farm is a different space that we're seeking to create with more boundaries. But it's that was the beginning for me.
What'd you learn?
What did I learn? I learned that there's nothing to be afraid of, that people are people, and that if you love them, they will shine.
Were you waving your hand, Ken?
Well, I'll just say that, when I came into town, I kind of saw this community and Jason and Brian and Ron Copeland in particular as people who are taking people in off the streets to live with them and to share life. And I was really inspired by that idea. And as I was building this old house to try and flip it and make some cash, I think the Spirit just kind of nudged me and helped broaden my perspectives in some way. And I started to see beautiful opportunities to do something like that myself. And to try and provide, a lot of folks didn't have employment, and a lot of folks found idle hands can be the devil's playground, so to speak. And so we started to envision being able to provide people with work. And that's where me and Jason kind of started to share a vision. We'd been framing houses together for a couple of years, and mm-hmm. we'd be driving our car to framing in the early mornings, and we'd kind of talk about vision and ideas and possibilities of creating a living experiment of the kingdom of God that involved welcoming anyone into our lives who wanted to come and try and find healing and wholeness in life.
Did you have a template for this?
We were very inspired by a few different groups. One of the major ones is one that people aren't that familiar with. It's called Battelle. It's primarily over in Europe. And it's a very inspiring group of people that do pretty much that. People find a way to get an old building, start fixing it up, and go out to the streets and just say to people who are dealing with primarily heroin addiction, do you want to come live with us and seek the kingdom of God together? And things kind of grow from there. But we've also been inspired, for sure, by Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker Movement, by Clarence Jordan, without a doubt, and Koinonia Farms. Will Gould and Gould Farms has been a big inspiration for us. So there's definitely influenced by Peter Morin and his writings.
But you guys didn't just talk on the way to work. You're actually doing it. Skip, when'd you come in the picture?
Early in 2009. I had gotten divorced a couple of years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty depressed. Saw that I was beginning to turn into your typical garden variety drunk. Didn't like the direction it was heading. Met Ron Copeland, the director of our community place, late in 2008. Early in 2009, I really started coming around the place and seeing what they were about. Community meals, good fellowship, helping a lot of people who were in some pretty dire life circumstances. And got to recognizing that I was heading in that direction. And it was just a place I didn't want to be. So I got to doing a little bit of volunteer work over there, helping out with gardens, things like that.
Just at our community place.
At our community place. Something to keep me busy during my idle times. Then when I got laid off, I mean, it became essential because I would have had too much time on my hands.
And wait, you were working another job at the time?
Yeah. So, you know, I got laid off from my job, and I just really went into it full bore. I saw something that I was interested in, something that kept me from isolating, becoming, I guess, sorry for myself. And it helped to bring me out of myself in a fashion, a way that I didn't know was possible at that time. After being there for, I guess, about 6 months, just helping, volunteering. I mean, I'd get in, wash dishes. It didn't matter. You know, whatever needed to be done, I was willing. The possibility of the farm came up. And at that point, I think Ken and Jason would agree that we were just like, wow, this would be great, but there ain't no way. There's just no way this is going to happen. But
when you say the possibility of the farm came up, is that the place became available?
Yeah. This is Jason. Crossing Creeks was the owner of the property before. It was 150 acres or 155 acres of land with a 6,000 square foot brick mansion on it. And there was a guy on the board of Crossing Creeks who really liked our community place and the spirit of it and knew that we had entertained having a farm and using it for community development kind of stuff. Because Crossing Creeks kind of liquidated, the possibility really seemed like a dream. I mean, we went up there, we looked at the property. I'd been there before when it was Crossing Creeks. Crossing Creeks was kind of modeled after Gould Farm, which would have been dealing with people with mental illness and the healing aspects of community and rhythm, just living a full life together. And
the three of you go up and look at the place?
So at this stage, I'd say it would be the board of OCP that went to visit. At least my first experience going to the farm was with the board of OCP. And at that time, it really, we had to blush the whole time we were there because it just seemed sort of fantastical that we would get this incredible piece of property and be able to do what we were going to do. So.
All right. Skip, when did you see the farm for the first time?
Well, actually, I got involved originally because they were asking some opinions because I do have a background, although be it with thoroughbred racehorses.
Okay.
I've been gardening most of my life.
You do have a farming background.
Something of a farming background. I wouldn't say a professional farmer, but more experience than anybody else at the place had at that point in time.
So what did you think of this idea as somebody with a little practical knowledge?
Well, my first thought was, there ain't no way. But on talking to various people on and off the board with OCP that were kind of in the know, and having a few opinions asked from me. I got to the point where I'd seen enough that these people had been able to do that was beyond what I was capable of believing at that point.
What they'd already pulled off.
Basically.
Yeah.
And I decided that, you know, maybe these guys have got something. Maybe they're on to something that I'm not in on. And just made a decision, you know, I'd like to be in on this. Maybe these guys can teach me something.
What's the concept for this farm, for our community farm? What's going to happen here? Everybody's
so,
shrugging.
No, I have a pretty clear definition. Really, before things got started, me and Ron Copeland sat down to say, what is going to be the vision of this place and what are we going to be moving towards? And we came up with what we consider kind of the four pillars of the community, which is Christian, work, recovery, community. And those are the four pillars or foundational stones kind of who we are and what we do.
Let's clarify recovery.
Yeah.
This is good old-fashioned recovery from some kind of physical addiction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Substance abuse. Definitely in a broad term, though, open to the fact that all of us ultimately do the things that we wish we didn't do and don't do the things that we want to do and find this to be a very frustrating experience. And so there is room for recovery for all of us. And with that understanding, but at the same time, also acknowledging that there's a special focused need for folks who are dealing with substance abuse issues.
Ken and I kind of were already working together with guys from the community who were prime suspects to live at the farm, kind of guys who were in the need of, or on the streets or in a space where they were needing recovery. So we were already working together. So the farm just became the place where we live.
The last Sparkian word on our community farm comes from Skip.
I wasn't sure, but I knew what I was doing wasn't working. And it seemed to me that these guys had something that was.
I hope we can all live more fearlessly, and we can lose all the pain.
You'll find a bunch of relevant links about life at our community farm, including information on the upcoming Our Community Farms Harvest Dinner on the Spark page at WMRA.org, where you'll also find a web audio extra, Brian Kaler's phone interview with Clarence Jordan's son, Lenny.